This semester, I don't know if many of you know this, but even though I graduated from seminary last May, I still had one more class to take as a part of my ordination requirements, and so right now I'm taking United Methodist History. And as I am learning more about the United Methodist movement and John Wesley, I've discovered that what began the movement of Methodism, what encouraged and inspired John Wesley, was this commandment: to love God and to love neighbor. When John Wesley began at Oxford, he was a part of what was later called the Holiness Club. Wesley liked holiness a lot, personal holiness. All of those things that we are called to do as Christians in our personal lives, like reading scripture, right? And doing the right thing. But Wesley later discovered, as he met with this man whose last name was Morgan, he took him to Castle Prison, where he visited those who were imprisoned for various crimes. And this was a place that the church often did not like to go. And Wesley first kind of rejected this notion of even going. But over time, he discovered the importance not only of personal holiness, but also social holiness. What hinges upon this greatest commandment to not only love God, an inward focus, right? But also to love neighbor. Those outward actions that we take where we spread the love of Christ in the world. I was in a class a few years ago, and one of my professors was talking about the crop walk. Have you ever participated in a crop walk before or know what that is? No? Some of you do know. A crop walk is it's a walk around a community, and you raise money to end hunger. Essentially, it's kind of like a Relay for Life or something like that, but it's in a community, you raise money to end hunger. United Methodists tend to like these sorts of things, so I didn't know if you guys knew what that was. But this, my professor, he was going around asking local churches if they wanted to be a part of the crop walk, if they wanted to help raise money to end hunger. And as he approached one pastor, the pastor said to him, "Well, it's not my job to end hunger. I'm called to feed people the bread of life, which is Jesus, not real food." As Methodists, we are called to both. We are called to feed people the bread of life, to share Jesus with people. We are not just a mission organization, right? We have Jesus in there too. But we are also called to feed people real bread because there are real hungry people in the world. And so this morning, we have this guy who comes up to Jesus and he says, he's testing him, right? People like to test Jesus. This guy who claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah. And it says he came to him, one of the scribes, and they were arguing with one another. And he said, "Jesus, which commandment is first?" And Jesus responds with these words. He says, "Hear, O Israel." Shema, Israel, in the Greek. It says, "Hear these words, O Israel." And so he's trying to capture the attention of the whole nation. Not just the scribes, not just the Pharisees, not just the people in the church, but he's saying, "All of you, hear these words. This is the greatest commandment." And first he says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Because there were disputes, right? If Jesus was the Son of God, then how can he really be God? Is he fully human? Is he fully divine? What is this Jesus guy? Are we supposed to worship him? And he says, "The Lord is one. The Father and I, we are one. The Father and I and the Spirit, we are together. Don't dispute this. We are one." And then he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God with everything that you have, every single molecule, every part of you. Love God with that. Now, I think it's interesting if you study religion, especially back in this time, and what people knew about gods. It was not the call of the people to be in loving relationship with God. There was calls to be obedient, right? There were calls to stand in line and to follow the commandments. But love? This is a different God from all the other gods that were believed in that time. We serve and believe in a God who calls us to be in intimate relationship with him, who wants us to be connected to God. That's unique, right? It's an amazing gift and an amazing commandment that we are offered, that our obedience is not out of fear or loyalty or submission, but it's out of love. And then Jesus turns that commandment around and says, not only are you to love God this way, but you're also called to love your neighbor. That everything you do for those around you should be out of love. We hear later in Scripture that if you say you love God, but you hate your neighbor, you're a liar. These two things are integrally connected. They are not two separate commandments. They together make the greatest commandment. And this is what flows out of our tradition as Methodists, to love God and to love neighbor. Over this season of Lent, we have been in the midst of a series called Declutter. If this is your first Sunday here, you'll notice that the sanctuary is sort of cluttered, but if you were here a few weeks ago, I couldn't get around up here, right? And part of this is a visual representation of all the stuff that clutters our lives. The stuff that gets in the way from allowing us to love God fully and from allowing us to love our neighbor fully. This greatest commandment is one that is hard to live up to, and stuff often gets in the way. If we continue reading in Mark's gospel, it says Jesus is questioned about this greatest commandment thing. And then it says Jesus continues to teach in the temple. And if you read the Gospels, it is super important for you to not just read one set of scriptures, right? But for you to read the whole thing. It's like picking a random paragraph out of the book and saying, you understand what that author had in mind, right? Mark wrote an entire gospel from beginning to end. And so what directly follows this greatest commandment discussion is super important. And guess what? It relates, right? If we go on in the text, Jesus starts talking about how there's this question, how can the scribe say the Messiah is the son of David? So he starts talking about what the greatest commandment is, and then he starts to talk about who the Messiah is, which is him, right? As the Son of God, not the Son of David. And then Jesus denounces the scribes. And then he points out this woman who is giving all that she has. And so I want to read what follows this passage, and I'm going to start in verse 38, Jake. Did you prep this? No, okay, that's okay. I'm going to read verse 38. It says, as he taught, he said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation. Then it says, he sat down the opposite of the treasury and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. The poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, all she had to live on. If we go back to what Kyle read, after Jesus answers this question about what is the greatest commandment, the scribe pops back and he summarizes what Jesus has said. And then he says, this is so much more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices that we can offer. And then Jesus points to these scribes who are just concerned with how they look, not really how they love. Something is getting in the way of them loving God to their fullest. And I think what's getting in the way here, what they need to declutter a little bit, is pride. If we look at the definition of pride, I was like Googling, what is the definition of pride? And there are lots of definitions that pop up. But I think that what it comes down to, pride is loving ourselves more when we are called to love God and to love neighbor. Pride means we love us more, that we put ourselves first instead of what the greatest commandment tells us to do, which is to put God and neighbor first. So we hear Jesus condemning the scribes for this very thing. You guys like to walk around in your long robes. You like to look like you're the best in society. You like to look like you've gotten all this figured out, like you follow the commandments the most, when in reality, your commandment is to love. And then he sees this woman. He sees this poor widow who gives two coins. It says they're worth about a penny, right? How many of you, when you walk along the street, do you see a penny? And you just ignore it? I mean, if that were my grandmother, she would yell at me for ignoring pennies on the ground, but I'm gonna be honest. I don't always stop and pick them up, right? Like the mantra says. They're really not worth a whole lot. And yet this was everything she had. Now, often this text is used on Stewardship Sunday, right? It's used as a way of saying, this is what we're called to be like. This is what we're called to give. And I think that that's an appropriate interpretation, but I think that there's a better one. I think that this text is really an indictment on the church. Jesus has gathered the evidence. He said, here's the law. Love God, love neighbor. And then he lays out the crimes committed by the scribes. And says, you have done X, Y, Z. And the victim here is that poor widow. You have let pride get in the way of loving and caring about her. You have built your church on her pain. She has come here and she has given everything she has. And you're going to continue to use her and abuse her to puff yourself up instead of being in service to her. You see, the scribes, they look like they love God, right? But clearly they're not loving their neighbor. They're failing to see this poor widow as a person and a child of God. This season of Lent, we're not just called to be like the widow, but we're called to look and ask ourselves, how are we being like the scribes? Are we making the church about us? Are we making this place be to our benefit rather than the benefit of God and the community around us? I don't know the answer to that question, but I would say most churches are probably guilty of doing just that. That the church in America and the church across the world often forgets about the people outside of the church. Now, I can name and celebrate many ways in which Broadway is not guilty of that crime, where we look out and we care about the poor and the widowed, the elderly, the hurting, the broken. But I think we have to examine every single action that we take to make sure that we're not being like the scribes. And so, this Lenten season, I want you to look at your life and ask, is pride getting in the way? Am I loving myself more than I am loving God and neighbor? And I will be honest this morning and say my answer to that is yes. Often I love myself more. I put my own interest above that of others. I think we're all guilty of that. I hope I'm not the only one. But how can you declutter that? How can you let that go a little bit? And how can we make room for God in our lives? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, today we come to you asking that you would allow us to humble ourselves a little bit. For often, oh God, we do things out of self-interest, for maybe how it appears, rather than doing it out of love for you and for our neighbors. God, we are so blessed that you are our God, that you are not a God that demands us to get in line, but you are a God that calls us to be in loving and personal relationship with you. That God, you desire us in our messiness, that you desire us in our pain and in our mess ups, God, that you still long for us. And God, we ask that we could long for you, that we could get rid of whatever in our lives is preventing us from that personal connection. God, allow us to hear this scripture this morning to help transform our lives. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.